Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Reginald McGlone. I am the community liaison for My Independence at Home. This show is brought to you by My Independence at Home. If you or your loved one are in need of home care, 215-921-2277. That's 215-921-2277. At My Independence, we will take you, actually show you how to get home care free. If you have insurance, we'll take your insurance. If you want to do private pay, you can pay us privately. 215-921-2277, My Independence at Home. Also, My Independence at Home, we're hiring. Yes, we will train you to work. We have 401k, we have all kinds of benefits. 215-921-2277.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Daryl Cass, and I'm here hanging out with Mr. McGlone here. And first of all, I'd like to say a couple of things, Reggie, if I could. I want to send out my heartfelt, you know, just depressed news about Florida and Puerto Rico. And I also want to give a shout out to the late Dr. Reverend Herbert H. Lust II, Jr., on his passing about a week and a half ago. But I also want to cheer, you know, share a little cheer here. My man Reggie, the Eagles are 3-0. Even though I'm a New York fan, I'm feeling your flow. As a matter of fact, you looked a little taller when you walked in here.
I will shut your mic off.
Your shoulders were broader. You know, I'm actually feeling like we go to the amusement park, you'd be able to get on the adult rides now. So, you know, I'm feeling
I can ride the ride.
You can ride all the rides now, Reggie. And you guys are doing great. So I want to congratulate you guys on having a so far excellent season. The quarterback looks good. The defense looks good. The offense, everything seems to be playing out to where you might have an elongated season this year, something you guys are not accustomed to in the last few years.
You're absolutely right. And any of the New York players get hurt, we'll go up there and give them some home care.
Yeah, I'm sure you will send flowers, Reggie. But once again, I just want to send my heartfelt feelings out to Florida and Puerto Rico on what they're going through right now. No one should have to do that. And I am not speaking for the radio show here, but personally, I believe in warmer globing and global warming. I actually believe in that, and that is a real thing, and that somehow or another, you know, outside the fact I'm lobbying for an electrical car, preferably the Mercedes, but, you know, it's real. It's real, man. It's
and you know who's hiding behind the hurricane?
Who's hiding behind?
Dumb Donald Trump. He was not indicted, but they had a subpoena for him to show, and he said the hurricane is stopping him from going.
Is that right?
Yes. But ladies and gentlemen, again, you listen to the Empowerment Zone, and we have a caller on the line. We have Rep. Regina Young. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the invitation.
Welcome, State Rep. Welcome, State Rep.
Yeah, welcome. You have some great things to talk about, so the mic is yours. First of all, tell us about yourself and then get into the good stuff that you're doing in the community.
Okay. Thank you again for this opportunity. But I will just say, I am just a human being serving human beings. I am a mom. I am a wife. I spent over 15 years doing community advocacy work, and now I'm a legislator, and I do live in Philadelphia, and I will say, it's an interesting time in politics, and so I'm grateful for my experience and my role. I am also a former educator at elementary school and social worker and a certified therapist, right? So I will say all roads led to this point. So that's who is at the State House representing the people, and I believe in hope. I believe in the ability to move our communities forward. We just have to make sure we're the louder voices. There's a lot of broken pieces for sure in our infrastructure, in our systems, and even in our communities. But I do believe we can be empowered to motivate and activate our own communities. We just have to be given that pathway. So I guess that's me in the elevator speech.
Wow. State Rep, I heard you say something about being a therapist or a counselor.
Correct. So I used to, I'm a certified grief counselor, and I'm a certified HIV prevention counselor.
I'm sorry.
That's my lane. And then I used to do social work.
Oh, because my partner here right now, we could absolutely use a referral. We could absolutely use a referral.
And I need grief counselors for him. So, state rep,
well,
tell us.
Well, guess what? I mean, I know we're laughing about it, but here's the deal.
No, it's not
It
funny
really either. Does start with acknowledgement, right? I mean, I know, yes. I don't know if you guys are playing or whatever, but just think about where we are as a community, right? How many people are really walking around wounded and not knowing it, or we mask it in other ways. And when we say it, it's almost like until somebody affirms that, we're like, well, wait a minute, I can use some support. And I think we're so disconnected right now in community, well, we don't even know how to expose our vulnerabilities. And it's completely okay, because I remember growing up in the projects, I'm from Connecticut, so I will say, now that I'm an adult, I'm like, we were all broke. Every last one of us were broke, but we were faking like, oh, I'm better than you because my mom have a new couch this month, right? And it's like, no, we're all in this hellhole together. So it was just really interesting. But anyway,
well,
I just want to touch on one thing.
That our caregivers get attached to their participant or clients. And when they pass on, we give them grief counseling. Mm-hmm.
Great. That's wonderful.
And because you're right, that you hold on, it's like a family member, because they're taking care of this individual for a long time. They become close, and you need counseling. So we do provide grief counseling. We were joked, Daryl and I were joking, but now that I think about it, it's a very serious topic.
Absolutely. Yes. State Rep, I have something that I really want to throw at you that's been bothering me since last night. I haven't been able to get any sleep over it. You know, this football game over at Roxborough High School the other night, and the violence that we experience in our city today, it is just absolutely unequivocally frightening. And do you have any words or any suggestions that you could throw at it to say this is something that you might do that could make a change?
Interestingly enough, before I went to our Energy Consumers Education Program, I will just say I left a hearing that we had at the Navy Yard, which is in my district, where the Republicans, and it's a special select committee, they were having hearings on D.A. Krasner and restoring the law and order in our messaging. And so I was not given an opportunity to speak, but I was just really there listening. And today we really talked about a lot of the victim families and how the system failed them. And I think I believe I started out saying I'm a mom. My kids are in high school. They're in these streets. They have to take SEPTA to get to their high schools, and they go to public schools. And so the thing I like to let my colleagues know, and anybody who listens, understand that I don't get an opportunity to excel until my family is in a household. When I'm in Harrisburg and I'm legislating and I'm watching real time how members across the aisle, Democrats, we will propose these bills to keep our community safe. We understand that mental health is a stimulus. We understand that broken educational system is a stimulus to all of this crime. And we're begging and we're pleading. We're not the ones in the majority, but we need this to help restore our communities. And time after time after time, if our legislation is even heard, it is more times than not voted down. So I found it really baffling today, listening to the hearing, listening at the hearing, and I'm listening to the family members of the victims plead with fixing the issue, sitting down, let's talk, let's figure out how we can help our people. And the people who they're talking to, who's holding the hearings, more times than not are the ones who are not allowing these legislation to pass. So to your question, what do we do? As a mom, as somebody who too wants their family members to come home safely, but also working in this realm of politics, it's broken on sides. So where do I get to communicate that, right? We tell people you need a vote. You need a vote for your legislature. You need a vote for people who look like you, who's going to help and help your communities and help our schools and help our mental health, right? And then I'm sitting there like, okay, how do I say that without making it political, we have done such a poor job. I will say we because I'm a part of politics now, but government hasn't always did the best job in making sure people felt a part of the conversation or a process of healing the communities. And so, unfortunately, when we say vote or this is what you need to pay attention to, people are no longer trusting, because the truth of the matter is, who's not walking? You'll find so many hurt people walking around, and we already know the method, right? Hurt people hurt people. So when we have a community full of broken, frustrated, confused, disappointed, hurt people, what do we get? This is the evidence of what we get. So I will say, as a mom, as a wife, as somebody who lives in the thick of this as well, it's very frustrating. So the community advocate in me is just okay with reminding people it's okay to say you're not okay. It's okay to ask for help. Let's stop normalizing trauma. Let's stop saying, what, I'm going to just focus on me, and I'm not going to focus on anyone else. We can no longer afford to have that narrative. We have to stretch ourselves as a community. These, I know in the hearings, we talked a lot about Philadelphia, and we talked a lot about, you know, the brokenness in Philadelphia, but everybody have a perspective, right? But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of crime in the rural areas as well.
It's systemic.
Gun shooting. And, but here's what we need to talk about. It's an everybody everybody problem.
Yes.
It's not just a big city problem. It's an everybody problem. And one of the things that it bothers me is that I witnessed firsthand on the floor how legislation is proposed, and the other party that's in control, our voices, they don't want our voices to be heard because they rather make it political. We should want to hear the voices of the people we say we want to serve. If Philadelphia is really an issue or a major concern, then guess what? Everybody who's elected should be held accountable. That's everybody. But guess who else should be accountable? We should also be okay with telling parents like myself, telling grandparents, telling family members, get your people in order. Let's get our house in order, because change has never started with government.
I'm glad
change has always started on the grassroots.
I'm glad you said that. You're reading my mind. You know, I was just thinking, sorry, Reggie, for taking over. You were late today, so this is like my show today. But anyway, state rep. I was thinking that just the other day that you have the victim's parents and you have the perpetrator parents. And I'm always curious to know the relationship that the perpetrator family has with their children, that this just seems to be a disconnect. Because I work with a mentoring program. We take kids to summer camp. We do a Saturday and a Tuesday after school and morning program with them. And I'm always curious to know, how come we can't get more dollars for those type of things, mentoring, to try to get our boys and girls off of the, you know, the streets, and how do we keep them safe? I remember when I was a kid, they used to have the saying, you know, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are?
Do you know where your kids are?
I look at it like this.
Because it's easier. I don't mean to cut you off, but I have to make this point before I forget. And I'm learning this as I'm expanding my wings in government. It's so much better and it's so much sexier to tell people what you should be able to do for them. To tell people, you be quiet, you sit there and let me spoon feed you on how you need to activate as a parent or a person. And it's easier because I remain control if I don't empower you. If I don't equip you with the resources you need, I can remain in control if I just spoon feed you what I want you to have. And that's how government is working. But guess what I realized too? We're way smarter. Our people are awake. Our people are motivated. They just need to be activated, right? So it's like, you know what? Wait a minute. Now all of the Republicans have been in government, or they've been in control for 30 years. Now you want to pay attention to Philadelphia before November 8th? Like, let's have those real conversations. And parents, stop waiting for people to tell you what to do with your kids. It's hard work being an intentional parent. I get that. That's why I made a choice to be a parent. It's hard, but I'm a parent who asks for help. It's okay to ask for help. I'm okay with saying, I don't know what I'm doing all the time. I need help. I'm having a bad day. I'm feeling really bad. I'm feeling sad. I don't know what to do. I don't have any control. I don't know how to help my teenager out of this COVID situation. So I'm okay. And I realize broken people can't be shamed, but we have to let broken people know not to be shamed. I'm a broken person, so I'm okay with saying broken people, because I know how when they isolate you in a situation, you feel like it's all about me. It's only me. It's only me. But the more you cry out and the more you climb up, you'll realize, oh my goodness, it's a whole bunch of us out here. Then you start empowering people. Then the person or the group or the system that believe they have the control over you loses its grip. And then what do? You try to instill fear and division. That's all this is.
Well, I think that I'm a father. I have three girls. And my two youngest girls, I raised them from like five until they went to college. And I was on the board at the school. I took them to school every day, picked them up every day. I was interested in their homework, even though I didn't understand it, but it looked like I was under, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, right, same here, bro.
And not to say I was the best parent in the world, but today, parents want to be your friend. They want to smoke a joint with you. They're going to go out and party with you. I didn't have a drink with my children until they were in their mid-20s. And I think that people now and this, the community are just too close to their children. They're worried about being their friends other than being a parent. And I just have to say, this show is brought to you by My Independence at Home, 215-921-2277. I'm Reginald McLaughlin. We have State Rep Regina Young on the line.
And Daryl Cassett. I am with Joe Nessa Home Health Aid Training Program, LLC. We do training and placement. My number is 215-802-7500. That is Joe Nessa, LLC. And we are on the website, and you can call me at any time, 215-802-7500. Training and placement.
State Rep Young, you're in the 185th Legislative District. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, can you tell us what area that covers?
So that covers Southwest Philly, South Philly, and currently Corwin, Darby Township, and Sharon Hill. But because of redistricting, come December 1st, I will no longer represent Darby Township and Sharon Hill, and I will cover more of the Southwest area.
And that's Delaware County?
That's Delaware County, correct.
Okay, right. Now, how can people get in touch with your office?
So it's because of the change, we're going to have to adjust our office space. So I'm just encouraging people to just contact me via email, repreginayoung.com is the easiest way because we have to pivot, if you will, physically. It's just easier to always know that my website and my social media handles, which is Rep Regina Young, will be consistent.
Where do you plan on relocating to? Do you have your destination picked up?
So, well, I'm staying in my Southwest office for sure.
Okay.
So I'll definitely be on 6844 Elmwood Avenue for sure, but I do have an office currently in Sharon Hill, but that's going to have to change, and I'm currently looking for a space in South Philly so that I can have another office. My area is so vast, it's difficult to have everything in one physical space, so I'm just trying to connect with the people as I'm able to. So I'm looking for a space in South Philly since I'm losing most of my Delaware County. My apologies. I will also pick up Tinicum Township come December 1st. So in Delaware County, I will have Corwin and Tinicum Township come December 1st.
Now, what is the duty of a state rep?
You know what? The duty of a state rep really is as simple. Well, it should. Well, technically, we are to hear from our constituents on what they need, and we vote and we legislate basically based on the needs of our district. So when you're when you hear about proposed bills, the legislation, the votes that we cast, we only get one voice, regardless of how many conversations are out there. We get one vote on a bill. And our goal, well, my goal is to focus on what makes sense for my district, what makes sense for the people I serve. So that's the overall, I guess, the legislative part, and we need to come up with bills that reflects the needs of our district. But we also make sure that we're providing to our constituents state services. So anything that's state-related, you should be able to get at my office or your state senator's office.
So, State Rep, I got another question for you. You know, our current mayor, he's ready to go to Florida and retire, I think, at this point. Do you have any aspirations of possibly running, since there's going to be an open seat coming up here in the near future?
Heck no.
No. I thought I'd just throw that at you.
No, I have another question for you also, State
You
Rep.
Seem very passionate.
The district attorney, Larry Krasner, they're trying to impeach him. Can you did you vote yes on that, or I don't know if you want. I'm going to put you on the spot with that, or do you think he should be impeached?
Oh, good question. And just to be clear, like I tell my colleagues, you got to be able to stand strong or whatever it is you vote. So the vote that I think is up on everybody's radar right now was not to impeach Krasner. The vote was to hold him in contempt to the state. The state legislature asked him for some documents, and legally there was some hiccup there in the state. So you know what? We didn't get our documents, so you disregarded our ask, and so now we're going to put you on punishment. That's the simplest way that I can put it. Now, I believe the next type of vote would be to try to impeach him, but this particular hearing that's happening now is to say, you know what, you ignored what the state asked you for, and now we're upset with you. But to your question, the people overwhelmingly, especially in my district, voted for Larry Krasner. So who am I to tell them their vote is wrong? I just think it's hypocritical, and my personal opinion, they voted for that man. I'm going to stick by that man. Why am I going to stick by that man? Because my people stuck by that man. So that's the simplest way I can put it. When you are a public figure, you have to, you know, it's just important to make sure that we are not focusing on what we would do as much as what our people would want us to do. And let's be clear, we were just in a meeting on Monday, and I don't even think he knew me from a can of paint. So it's not like we're friends. It's not like he's on my phone or I'm on his phone. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. But as a public official, we need to advocate for the people. And if my people say this is what they want, well, that's what I'm going to advocate for.
Awesome. Awesome. Great answer.
That's what you do. That's what you do.
Now, there's a lot of services you provide. We went to this utility resource fair. Is there anything that you believe our listeners should know about your office, what you're offering, or the go-to? Like, can they come to you for driver's license problems? Can they come to you for any of the utilities they have if they have a problem with them?
Absolutely. Anything that's state-related, anything that you believe the Commonwealth owes you or need to respond to you about, that's us. We're the Commonwealth. But another great thing I love to say about my team, and I do believe I have the best team in the world, because we understand the people in my office are all community people. So I hire people from the community, because who else is going to better keep me aligned than the people who I'm saying I want to serve, right? So what I tend to do is work closely with my local electeds. So although we're state and we can only really enforce things on a state level, be clear, if somebody call about city services, then we have our great councilman, Kenyatta Johnson, who we've been working with for years. And guess what? If you need a city service, I'm going to call his office. And he delivers. If as a state legislator, if there's something that the senator, who is my senator, well, actually, I have to come December 1st, but State Senator Anthony Williams, then Saval, then guess what? I will call them too. And then guess what? My federal partners, Evans and Scanlon, I work with everybody.
Big Dwight.
I do believe in teamwork making the dream work, and we got to stop operating in silos. So if I can't depend on my other electeds to help deliver for the people, well, then I make sure I let them know that too, and I let the people know too. So
one of my jobs, I got 13 hats at my independence at home. One of my jobs, when I first came into my position, I was talking to Lisa, our CEO, and I explained to her, you have to get really close to the politicians because your home care is regulated by the state. And you want to state, you want to make sure that you're in with the people in the end game. So we're very close with Dwight Evans. We're very close to, should I say, Congressman Evans.
Congressman Evans,
we're
in, absolutely.
We're very close with Rep. Steve Kinsey.
Sure.
We work with Rep. Chris Rabb.
Councilwoman
Bass.
Don't leave her out.
We work well with State Rep. Well, she's in charge. Come on, Youngblood. She took over Youngblood's place.
I know who you're talking
Parker,
about.
Parker.
Yeah,
Parker.
State Rep. Parker. We work close with them. Yes. Actually, there's a coalition that we're starting for the, what do you call it? For caregivers. Minority-owned caregivers, and they're working strong with us to get that coalition together so we have a strong word in Harrisburg. I'm saying that is to say that I would love for you to meet with our CEO. Maybe we can have lunch and meet because I think you have some great ideas.
Well, coming from the community advocacy lane, I will just say, and I keep reiterating that because I think it's very important for you all to hear. Because I am now a politician. I get people, and I understand if we're not connecting with people, then we're doing it wrong. We can't call ourselves public servants of the people if we're not meeting with the people, if we're not hearing the people, if we're not working with the people. So I work with everybody. I talk to everybody. You saw me, you know, today in black and white form. That's about as Regina as it's going to get. But here's the deal. You saw me today talking to a group, and I don't care where you see me. You see me in Harrisburg. I'm saying the same thing because my message don't change because guess what? My goal doesn't change. I want to empower my people. So to your question, I meet with everybody. And I will say this. I don't just go along to get along because you black or you just saying something. It has to make sense. The people who I name, who I work with, well, I meet with everybody. But if I'm working with you, trust me, you're working. You're not just at a title because a lot of times people use titles and they just think that title or those relationships are going to carry you. I form my own relationships because I need to know how authentic you are about what you say you want to do. So I meet with everyone and I'll tell you and I don't make you guess. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, well, it was a great opportunity, you know, so thank you.
Run, young, run.
We have to humanize this stuff. We have to humanize this stuff. It is not complicated. And I didn't realize how simple it was until I actually got here. Like, oh, my goodness, they're just people serving people. But it's about how we position ourselves, how we approach this work to make people think, oh, my goodness, there's no way I could ever. You absolutely can, and that's why I love what I do. Because when I go into these schools or when I'm walking these blocks, I let people know I'm just like you. I'm just like you. I'm not better than you. I'm different, but I'm not better than you.
Are you running?
And when people understand that, it's amazing.
Are you running for office this term in November?
Well, I'm unopposed. I did win my primary, so I would say I'll be that.
Okay. Yeah. And what lever do what button is no longer a lever? I'm old.
I don't know. I should know that. How terrible! But I'm the only one in this seat, so there's no other name unless somebody write a bunch of names. I don't even know because I'm in Philly and I'm in Delco. But yeah, right now I'm just trying to make sure that we are getting people who reflect people in office now who does have opponents. I want to make sure that they're highlighted in a way that the common voter or the average citizen understands. Don't think about the name as much as you think about what works for you as an individual, what works for you as in your family, what works for your community, what works for your school, what works for your job. Vote your job, vote your family, vote your community. So that's what I tell people.
Well,
so I help on other people's stuff, but I'm, you know, this time around, you know, I'm blessed, I would say, because I don't have an opponent, but we got people to save. So whether Regina has an opponent or not, there's hundreds of people out here who needs to be empowered. So I'm on that race right there.
I want to thank you very much,
Rep
Young. And by the way, you can download this show in about 15 minutes after it's over, like 4:15, WWDB.com. And you can play the show as much as you want, wherever you want, Facebook, whatever you want to do with it, it's yours. Can you give us information how people can contact you again, please?
Sure, absolutely. And thank you again for the opportunity. I love it. I love being able to just have a platform to empower my folks. But www.reginayoung.com or on any social media handle. I'm sorry, it's www.repreginayoung.com. But any social media handle is Rep Regina Young. So that's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, Rep Regina Young.
Insightful. Thank you.
Thank you so much for this interview. We definitely will have you back. And don't forget, this show also airs tomorrow. I don't know. Brett, what time is it tomorrow? Would it air? 9 o'clock tomorrow morning? Okay, tomorrow night it'll air at 9 o'clock. And again, you can pick it up online, www.db.com. If you don't get it, State Rep, call me and I'll email you this show.
Yep, run.
Absolutely. Young, run. Listen, reach out to me however you need, whenever you need, whether it's a personal or legislative. The more we empower each other and normalize these conversations, the greater our communities can be.
And also, we're planning something in your district. We are for seniors. We're going to have a senior outing. We're trying to rent buses. We have sponsors or people who sponsor us to do these things. And I definitely will step out to with your people, your team, to help us make this happen.
Awesome. That's what I'm talking about. High five to you. All right. Well, you know who to kind of contact me. You met her today.
Yes, I did.
My go-to girl. So Belinda's my girl. All right, well, listen, I appreciate you all, and thank you again for this opportunity.
You're welcome. Great talking to you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Great talking to you.
All right, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Empowerment Zone. I am Reginald McGlaughlin, community liaison for My Independence at Home. If you have a group of people and you want us to do a lunch and learn, I will come by lunch, and I will teach seniors and adults with disabilities and their families, intellectual disabilities also, how to choose a home care agency. How to choose a caregiver. Why do you need a will? Why do you need a power of attorney? Why do you need insurance? Why do you need the personal emergency response system? And I definitely would take you through the waiver program. Waiver program is funded by state government and the PA lottery. They pull it together. They give it to agencies like ours. And we hire people to care for you. The only way you can get these services, dialing 215-921-2277. That's 215-921-2277. And at My Independence at Home, it's free.
And this is Daryl Cast. I run a home health aid training program called Joe Nessa Home Health LLC. We train and we place. My telephone number is 215-802-7500. Call me anytime.
Now, Daryl.
Yes.
How does one get into your program?
Actually, the requirements are very limited. We do not require a high school diploma. We do not require necessarily a criminal background. You could have a background. We do bilingual training. We've actually been training people that speak Creole, Spanish, and English. So all you have to do is have a desire to want to keep someone in their home comfortable, safe, and sound. That's all you have to want to do, and we will do the rest for you. Resume development, we'll help you with that, how to fill out applications, soft skills, how to, you know, interview. We do hard skills, what you should do once you're inside the person's home. And, of course, we certify and we link it with agencies like My Independence at Home, which is a wonderful, I have to, and this is not just because I'm here with Reggie, but My Independence at Home is one of the top-notch minority-owned home health aid companies that you could deal with. There's no question about that. I swear by that. So thank you for having me on today, Reg. But I'm pissed, Reggie. I'm still mad, man. I got some stuff I want to get off my chest, man.
Go for it.
Can I get off? You know, I work for a welfare to work program for over 7 years. And the goal was to bring these people to some sort of self-sufficiency, self-reliance, to be dependent upon themselves and no one else. And then I hear that this man down in Mississippi, one gentleman named Brett Favre, who was a millionaire probably 100 times over, actually hurt the system by getting $500 million to build a volleyball center for his daughter at his alma mater. When I'm under the impression that all you need is a net and a ball and a gymnasium, and you can accomplish the same feat. It is disgusting on what this man has done to hurt the people of Mississippi, which is the lowest income ratio in these United States.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, money that was supposed to go to people that are on welfare,
correct,
he took it himself.
Absolutely.
And right, that's, and they was trying to give him extra funding for the field.
Sure.
So absolutely, he had millions of dollars that was supposed to go to people that are underprivileged,
that's
called
correct
them. He
that's
was
correct
taking and pocketing that money.
Absolutely.
Now, that's a crime. And here's the other thing about that. How much time you think he's going to do?
He's rich, so he's going to probably have the best attorneys and all of that there. So I'm assuming that this is going to be a slap on the hand. The governor's involved. Well, the ex-governor was involved.
Ex-governor's involved, yes.
And I heard the ex-governor actually say that what we were doing could put him in federal prison. So someone actually knew what they was doing, and that's when he actually cut the valve on that one there. But I hope that this story gains some traction, because he needs to be exposed for what he has done to hurt the citizens of Mississippi.
Well, crazy. You know, we used to hurt people. Well, he's exposed already. But you know what? People don't read, or they read trash.
Yeah.
Not, you know, like we say, knowledge is power. Use it or lose it. I try to read everything.
Mm-hmm.
I might Zoom read, and if I catch something, catch my attention, and I'll pay attention to right everything that I'm reading. And I see that a lot of people just read their Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Who's Zooming who?
Right.
And why did you say that on Facebook about mm-hmm me, and people get angry and want
right
to kill each other.
Yeah.
But the important things, a lot of people look over. All right? So that's my thoughts. Even when it comes to voting, you should be out. Man, everybody should be ready to vote in November. You should be standing in
without
line now.
Without a doubt.
To vote in November. Right. All right? And what you're going to see is a turnout. It's an off election.
Yeah, but unfortunately, midterms are a lot different than these big general elections, you know, elections
no,
when
you're
going
for president.
You got to
vote for a judge.
There. Yeah, you
right
do.
Judges?
You know, I'm glad you said that. That's very important, man, because I've been in front of a couple of judges, the same judge a few times, and I'm like, Lord, have mercy. When are they going to get rid of this people? Because that's a 10-year term just for a regular state judge.
Yes,
so,
well, let's turn it around
you
so you
know
can just get him out,
man,
let him go.
I can think of. I don't want to call her name out, but Lord, I hope she's not there anymore.
And you got to vote for a mayor.
Yeah.
Mayors are in charge of billions of dollars.
This is going to be interesting this year, though.
They got a big race. Yeah. Here's the thing that was going to happen in the race. Now, the Democratic Party, they need to tighten up.
Right.
They are so all over the place.
Yeah, correct.
I mean, it's a shame.
Clannish.
It's a shame to say the Republicans are tighter. Republicans are tighter. They'll say, we got our one guy.
Well, it's singly minded.
I want to stick with this one guy.
They
we get him in there. We got everybody.
They kind of singly focused. Like you said, we're kind of all over the place. They're looking for the cat that's going to pass some
tax bills. And they have some, they have teeth.
Or the lady.
They don't mind scratching you.
Well, things have changed in the Republican Party. I think we can all agree on that. I'm not going to get on that topic there, because then I'm going to get upset again. So I'm just going to stay with you on this line that the Democrats just need to hold for.
Oh, yes.
To hold
and be accountable.
Right.
Just because you're a Democrat and you're in office, once you get there, you lay on your behind.
Right.
And
right
you think, well, nobody else is going to run with me. I could do what I want to do.
Yes.
Like State Rep Young, she says, I'm here for you no matter what. Nobody's going against me. But I'm back in
right
office.
Right.
But I'm still, I got boots on the ground. I'm not going to just vote for me and I'll set you free and then leave me alone.
Because she's on the polls, right? She
exactly
can just lay back on her laurels without a back. She can sit back on that. You're right. It's glad to hear that she's still in the fight.
Yes.
You know, because we're in a battle. That would happen at Roxborough and all this other nonsense just in general, man. It's just getting out of hand.
Yeah, even the violence. People say we need more police and stronger police.
Mm.
That will not deter a person from being violent.
Right.
With most people, you're either religious or you're educated or both.
Right.
That's usually where violence, you don't see a lot of it. When there's a lot of, in the household, should I say, My mother was a stone Jehovah's Witness.
Oh,
my
okay.
mama, my mama was no joke.
Yeah.
Right? You she could throw a shoe around the corner, up the street, down the alley, and knock you in your head.
Yeah, I've become more familiar with the Jehovah's Witness stance on things over the last year and a half. Yeah, definitely.
And we didn't have children's church.
No, you didn't have children's
church. No, no kidding. You had a lifesaver, and you set your butt on that pew.
Right.
You didn't move. Because you never, my mother said, don't embarrass me in front of the sisters.
No, I went to Catholic school, so we was in 50 minutes, and we was out, man. I kind of like that.
No,
music was kind of boring.
You in. No, music is very boring at the Kingdom Hall. Drums. You singing from a hymn book.
Yeah, I was carrying the smoke thing where you wave the smoke around, and I was like 8 years old. I was trying to smoke that just so this thing would be over with, man. You know, just give me something here to work with.
They had a room that you would get your butt whipped. If you cried, there was a room. You would go to that room.
The nuns could actually beat you up. Not discipline you. They could actually beat you up. So, and I missed that.
I heard about Catholic school.
Right? Yeah, I appreciated that. When I think back on it, it made me a stronger person. You know, it did. And gave me a fond of respect for women, too.
You know my thoughts on public schools, most public schools, in the 60s, 70s, into the 70s.
You are old.
You would get drafted.
You
would go to, I am old.
Well, you had the last supper.
But I look good.
You had the last supper?
I was the first supper. Right?
So you're saying the 60s and the 70s things were.
So what happened was you had a lot of female teachers in
elementary
school.
Correct.
You didn't see rarely did you see a man.
That's right. That's
in
true.
Elementary school.
That's
but
true.
To get one with the draft going to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
If you was a teacher, you didn't get drafted.
Right,
so this group of people who said, I don't want to go to war, the men
became teachers.
Yeah. Or phys ed, what do you call it?
Right,
physical education teacher.
Sure,
in the gym,
sure.
Right.
Right.
So now
you
have all the fluctuation of men in the schools. I think schools, elementary children should be taught by women.
You think so?
Yeah, not men.
Wow.
Because men, elementary school, that's when you want to be loved. And looked after.
Mm-hmm.
Most men do not have that nurturing.
So that nurturing, so that's what you're looking at.
Right.
There,
so junior high school, put the brothers in there.
But you don't think that, to be a man, you should kind of follow a man's kind of
at a certain age. See, we have middle schools now. Mm-hmm. We should have, I think you have kindergarten, preschool,
right.
1 to 6. Then you go to another building. Yeah. They have middle school. They're mixing up teenagers with younger kids.
But don't you think to a certain degree that that's taking a lot of the pressure off the in-home stuff? Because that's where the nurturing really should come from. Man.
Well, nurturing definitely should come in home, but you still have them. They have you for how many hours a day? Five, six hours a day?
Correct.
So,
correct.
And children are molded. They're feeling
that's
they
true.
Want to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want, hey, get yourself over here.
Right.
That's my thoughts. And the draft dodgers, not draft dodgers, from the 60s, 70s is why you have all those male.
But you contradict yourself just a little bit there, Reggie.
How's that?
Well, because your story that you just told probably about 30 minutes ago on being the ideal parent, whether you were male or female, the influence that you were able to have on your three girls, it was coming from the home, versus the school. The school was just a part that was going to just aid in what you had already, supplanted in them. So
let me elaborate on that. They went to a Christian school,
uh-huh.
and all the teachers were females.
Yeah, okay.
And when they were younger.
I got you.
So that's because I wanted it that way.
Right.
I wanted them to have no love and religion.
The right.
Same thing, religion and be nurtured.
Mm-hmm.
When they got older, they went to a public school in Sheltenham.
Right.
But you can have anything you want because you have whatever you need to survive is in you now.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it is.
You got a smile on your face, man. Them eagles, man. You smiling from ear to ear, man.
You know
you're
what?
Happy, man. Eagles.
I'm only Eagles fan when they win.
When they win, that's what y'all do here. See, us New Yorkers, we're a fan to the end, no matter what goes down. But you guys are a fickle bunch, man. I gotta give it to you.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm happy when you win because you guys, when you lose, a lot of y'all are subject to jump out of eight-story windows. So
what's the first thing you see when you fly into New York?
The first thing I see?
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what direction I'm flying in from. It could be the Statue of Liberty. It could be the Empire State Building.
Statue of Liberty. You guys got a black woman there.
Where, at the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah.
You think she's black? Last time I checked, she was like green.
No, she's supposed to be black. See, the original Statue of Liberty.
She's from Italy. So she's from France, man.
So, and it was a picture of, they were doing that for the Civil War.
Uh-huh, okay.
I think the Civil War.
Civil what, the War. Statue of Liberty?
Statue of Liberty, yes. That's what how we
oh,
got
they,
it.
Oh, they made her...
Because they came in to America to help the North win the war.
Who came in?
France. The French.
Came into where?
To America.
They Is were, that right?
Yes. Well, what you know your history?
When you say war, I'm thinking you're about the Civil War.
No, this is
because that was the brothers. The brothers had to get down on that one.
The North and the South were fighting.
Right, that's right.
Yes, so the Statue of Liberty was the gift from France.
To say what?
To say, just your gift for liberty. We got, you know, we united, the slaves were freed.
Ah, man.
Look it up.
I will because, you know, yes. That's literally the original bring statue, me your poor, your indigent, you know, your this to that. Yeah. You know, it was about bringing, because the Irish were like the first ones that actually came over here voluntarily, you know,
no,
and were
the
greeted.
French came in to help us with the war.
You know?
And is the original right? Statue of Liberty had a big nose. And they said, no, that looks too black. And they narrowed the nose.
Okay, Rich.
All right.
You was up late. You did say you were up late last night.
I was
you
up
doing
yeah,
a little
I was
party
up late.
Yesterday.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Empowerment Zone. My name is Reginald McGlaughan. I am the community liaison and historian for my Independence at Home. If you or your loved ones are in need of home care, 215-921-2277. That's 215-921-2277. If you need a job, you want to be a caregiver, we train 215-921-2277.
Yeah, I'm laughing. This is Daryl Kasten, and I run Joe Nessa Home Health Aid, LLC. We train in place. My number is 215-802-7500. And I just want to make a comment on that history thing about the French. The only reason why he's down with the French is because he's the same exact size as Napoleon.
Oh, my God. Don't make me come over here, because I will. That was a good one. I have to give him that one. Yes.
I thought the one where we can get you on some rides now was pretty good.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are in need of home care, one of my 13 jobs at My Independence
yes,
at Home
he does.
Is to get you on the community home-based waiver program. That's where everything's free. Once you get on a waiver program, you can get a free wheelchair, you can get a walker, you can get a scooter. If you live in a house, they'll come and modify it for you, and it's all free. The only way you could do that is call Reggie McGlaughan, 215-921-2277 at My Independence at Home. Call now. If you think your loved one is going to need home care, start now because it takes up to 90 days sometimes to get you or more to get you the home care that you need. 215-921-2277. And I will follow you from the beginning until you get it. My Independence at Home, 215-921-2277.
Did you get that out?
I got it.
Oh, okay, because you were pointing at me, man, so I don't know what that means, man. But yeah, this is Daryl Kasten. I'm with Joe Nessa Home Health Aid, LLC. We train and we place a 10-day program. We get you in, we get you out. My number is 215-802-7500. We also help you with your resume development, soft skills training, and pretty much just take you through the whole gamut of how you can become a successful caregiver, because that's what it's all about, keeping people in their homes, watching their own TV, laying in their own bed, and, of course, eating their own food.
Well, now, what does a caregiver or health aide, what is their duties?
The duties, you know, what the number one word that I use when I'm doing training and things like that is called ADL. And I feel that once they learn what the ADL is, which activities of daily living, that means that when you go in there, you have a set of duties that you should perform to the max. You should also be a very ethical person. I like to make sure that our people are going to go in there and not do the wrong things, eating people's food, driving their cars, and doing things that they should not do. So I'm big on ethics when it comes to going into someone's homes, caring about them, just for the mere fact that I had a sister who passed away, my late sister Vanessa, and she had a caregiver. She was a cancer patient and was an amputee on top of it. And just last August the 3rd, I lost my mother, who had had a caregiver for 7 years. But it made the quality of life that my mother had so much better, because prior to the home health aid coming into her home, she was going to the hospital every 60 days, 90 days with these ailments, that ailments. Once the home health aide came into her home and gave her the care that she was looking for, my mother rarely went into the hospital up until, you know, the time that it got to the point where her illnesses had caught up to her and, you know, passing was inevitable.
But what is the activities of daily living? What is that?
That means that you would be a person that, you know, and I don't always talk about the grooming, the bathing, the light housekeeping. I like to talk about things like you're also their advocate. You need to go in there. You need to be, you know, open, have your open eyes to some abuse and other things that, that go along with caring for a person. But normally, you want to go in there and make sure that you maintain their style of living, even if they cannot do it themselves. You understand? We teach them on how to deal with people that are incontinent, that, you know, can't go to the bathroom on their own, how to handle that, you know, perinatal care. We teach them a little bit of everything, how to use Hoyer lifts, which is something that home health aides are not normally trained
in. What is a Hoyer lift?
A Hoyer lift is a mechanical device that allows you to maneuver a person who is not ambulatory, that cannot get around, that cannot move around themselves. We teach you how to make an occupied bed. That means that a person's in the bed with you. You know, the rules of the CDC on how you should wash your hands, how you should remove your gloves. We teach them vital signs, the four vital signs. Most people don't even realize when they go see a doctor and the nurse comes in before the doctor what that person is even performing on them. So we teach them how to do that, which is blood pressure, temperature, pulse, and respiration. We teach them how to take a blood pressure. We actually do that to teach them the difference between a systolic reading, a diastolic. We also talk about diabetic care as far as monitoring a person's feet daily. We teach them everything. If a person's sugar is low, what you should do, orange juice, milk, things like that. That if it's high, did you just eat? And we just cover the whole gamut of what they should do as far as when you go into someone's home to make sure that they're comfortable and they want you to come back the next day.
Does a caregiver or an aide, do they prepare food for the client or the participant?
There is light housekeeping, light meal prep, and that's something that I stress with them on what they should try to do, because if a person has a particular diet, you cannot go against what that person, that participant, consumer, or whatever you guys want to call them over there, my independence at home, you cannot change their diet, but you can encourage them to eat well. And my number one thing is, when you can't think of what to do, put it in the oven. You know, let's get it there and try to do it that. Let's stay away from the processed foods. Let's try to encourage them, if they do drink, to just kind of try to modify it, but never insist on anything. You always want to be encouraging. You never refer to them as a patient, because patients only reside in hospitals. If they live in their home, they're a resident. They're a participant. They're a consumer. So you need to respect that part of it. And, of course, you need to go in there and be prepared to possibly deal with other family members, too.
Now, how can people get in touch with Jonessa?
Very easy, 215-802-7500, day or night, mornings, evenings, Saturday, Sunday, twice on Sundays if you want to call me. My line is always open. I'm always looking to get people, because we can't fill enough of these positions. Right now, I work with you guys over at My Independence at Home, and you guys are always looking for qualified help. So there's never a shortage in that. And I do work with other agencies, but I love Reggie the most. He's my guy. He's my guy. Reggie is very instrumental in the work that I do right now. A couple of places that I first got into, rentals and stuff like that, Reggie was very instrumental. Reggie knows everybody and knows everything. You know, he might not be the most well-liked person in Philadelphia, and he might not be the most well-liked person in the region, but he gets things done.
Well, I thank you for that, and your check is in the mail.
Thank you, brother.
Are you quite welcome? Thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen,
happy hours on you.
Home care. It's very important that to keep people in their houses. They live longer
when you're at home.
You don't, you know, when seniors and adults with disabilities have to go into a facility, they feel displaced. Yeah. And you're around a lot of people that are sick.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely.
So they give up.
Yeah.
When they die, they give up. So that's
company
why.
Company you keep. That's right.
Right. That's why the state said, hey, listen, it's also cheaper to keep you in your house.
Of course, absolutely. It's less stress on the facilities, without a doubt.
Exactly.
And the state, without a doubt.
So financially, they thought, we got it. Let's keep them at home. But by keeping someone at home, you have to take care of them. And we look for quality caregivers. And we get that from Daryl. We got Alicia.
Yes,
She came in to be a caregiver. Now she's running our
she's
HR
running
department.
The show. Yes. Very proud of Alicia, man. She's a big ups to her. But I got a happy note to talk about, man. You know, because I keep up on current events. You know, I like to stay sharp. Did you know that they might be coming up with a cure, or at least something that would help with Alzheimer's? Did you hear that?
I did. I don't know the extent of it, but I heard it.
Yeah, they're saying that they could cut back like something like 40% on the symptoms and all that stuff there.
Did they experiment on you with that drug?
Yeah, I definitely need it, man, right? Because right now I'm at the sometimer stage. You know, I'm headed for the Alzheimer's, but I'm at the sometimer stage right now. You know, I'm not far behind you, Reggie. Yeah, not at all.
So. No, I forget. And I forget my wallet a lot, and most of the time it's on purpose.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I know. I've noticed.
I'll tell you, my wallet's in the car in a minute.
Right. I remember you forgot
Or I left it home.
I forgot the expense card and all this.
Yeah.
Nah, brother. Bill's on you. but I want to thank you for everything that you do for me, Reg. And let me come in and sit in with you, man. I love this stuff, man. You know, I love kicking it with you.
I'm happy to have you here. Again, I'm just going to do this for a couple minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, we just did a 2,500 walk from the 9/11 for the falling firefighters. I didn't make all the steps. When I tell you my legs were hurting yesterday.
Well, it's so short. I mean, I won't get mad at you about that.
My legs were hurting. And I've seen people going up the steps and, wait a minute, for every one step they take, I got to take two.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it works for a person.
I got to take two.
That's kind of how it works for you, Rich.
I looked over. I'm like, okay, that's enough. But we did sponsor that. And
that
Lisa,
was beautiful.
Lisa took the whole team down to Citizens Park yesterday.
Wow.
Everybody. And she paid for us to she donated money to the organization because she is a veteran.
Yes, she is.
So she donated money to the organization, mm-hmm. and then she bought everybody lunch.
Wow. Lisa, the big spender. She is. She's cool. You got a great boss, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If I wasn't doing what I was doing, I'd come over there and work for it, too.
No, you
man.
Can't.
Yeah, she does have a bit of an edge, man. She does. But you got to love Lisa because she's doing it right.
Yes, she is.
You and I appreciate that because at one point she was, the number one black-owned minority business in the eastern Pennsylvania or something like that there?
You know, we were in the top 5,000 fastest growing business in the country.
I'm not surprised.
Yes.
I'm not surprised
at all. 2,000 or something was our number.
She got you. She got you. She's like, you know, you're like Sonny and
Cher.
Me,
right.
I got you, babe. No, it's I got you, babe. Not she's got me, babe. I got you, babe. No. And you're about the same size as Sonny Bono. It all works out.
I'm going to throw this water over there. You're really pushing it. Come on, give out your information one more time because we almost at the end.
This is Darryl Cast, and I run Joe Ness's Home Health Aid LLC. We train home health aides, certified home health aides, and we place you. My number is 215-802-7500. You can call me day or night. My phone is always on. If not, leave me a voicemail, and we'll get back to you.
And also, I'm Reggie McGlone with My Independence at Home, 215-921-2277. As always, we are blessed by the best and destined for success. It's up to us to do our best to make this world a better place for everyone. There's nothing to it but to do it, and once we do it, ain't no stopping us now.
Peace.
See you next week. There's been so many things that's held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around.